Welcome, everybody.
The Pop's Finest Hour on the radio. Today, got Jennifer Aniston as my guest appearance on the Hypnotic Show. And then also make sure to go on outthegutta.com, right on the homepage, so that you can purchase one of my 1,000 physical copies before they're gone for the greatest hits. Because once those 1,000 are done, then they're gone. Make sure to definitely get them. Be one of the ones signed. There's a lot of great things that come with it. A lot of great benefits. So definitely don't want to miss it. And take advantage of it. And then also on that same page, you could actually get on the homepage of Out the Gutta, you could purchase Thug Life Volume 2. And also on that site is where I have all my limited edition shoes, glasses, everything. I even have autographed microphones on there. So make sure to go check it out and buy. Especially the limited edition stuff. They're limited edition for a reason. You know, they're going to go. And when they're gone, they're gone. I'm going to get to Jennifer. Let's go.
I think that's too slow for him as a movie.
Oh,
probably,
I see.
Anyway.
God, really? Wasn't Wizard of Oz slow for us when we were kids?
Probably was, but we were used to slower things.
Yeah, we were. We weren't like so. Yeah.
Yes. You've been doing this for, it isn't quite half your life. Is it just about half your life?
You know what? I think it is more than half of my life.
That you, because you started.
Started at 20. I got my first job at 18. So.
Good work.
It was a Bob's Big Boy commercial, but still, it was my first paying job. My SAG card. So
you have a recollection of life before.
Yes.
Being an actor.
Very clear and wonderful recollection of. Yeah, I had a great childhood in New York City. Not without its little normal complications that kids have of that generation, but just growing up in New York City and going to a Waldorf school, which is very creative, and, you know, making beeswax candles and knitting, you know, tea cozies and sweaters, and being in the nativity play and doing my first play was there, and so, yeah.
So was acting a natural extension of your parents' work?
Yeah, I was definitely. Well, they're both actors. My dad still is on a soap opera, 35 years later, and my mom was an actress and then model, and then quickly kind of gave it all up because I don't think she quite enjoyed herself that much. But yeah, we were surrounded by pianos and games and. Actors and it was really, I was just intrigued. And then moving to New York City when I was a kid from LA to Pennsylvania to Greece, back to, and then to New York. Going to my first Broadway play was sort of just I was hypnotized and instantly just had to do it. It was Annie.
Oh.
It was Annie, and then, Marley Matlin.
Oh, Children of Lesser God.
Children of Lesser God. That was the second one.
So that's a pretty, Annie would seem like the thing a young woman would do.
Yeah, but then Children of Lesser God, and I just remember tears trailing down my face. It was just larger than life to me.
So is that, when you started acting professionally, did you want... that? Did you want it to be a balance them, or what were you kind of...
Television, I was aware of television, even though I wasn't allowed to watch it, since I went to a Rudolf Steiner school, but if I was really sick, or a special treat. I would be allowed to watch Donnie and Marie on a Friday night, or definitely Wizard of Oz every year. That was another special treat.
Mm-hmm.
David and Goliath up really early. And then, but yeah, I wanted to have that feeling. You wanted to perform. I wanted to perform. And I was, you know, when I was at school, I remember I'd write skits during class. I would write little skits, and then we would perform them during recess, and little funny skits.
Hmm.
So it was something was eating away at me, for sure.
So you became really famous because of Leprechaun. That was really the key.
I don't know if that made me really famous. To my friends and family, I was pretty deadly.
Do people still talk about Leprechaun to you?
Absolutely.
It's funny how that popped out.
Yeah. Well, it kind of had legs.
Yes, it did.
For such a little guy.
It still does, considering they made four or five more of them.
Yeah, they did.
But the first one is still the classic. You know,
that's the classic.
If you really want Leprechaun feeling, you need to go to Leprechaun.
God, I remember I really thought I'd hit it. Warwick Davis from Willow. I was like, this is amazing.
And then you became really famous. Just a couple years later. A
couple years later, yeah, five.
Yeah, but that you've been there for 20 years.
I've been there for 20 years.
It's
so weird when you're broken down into years. It's crazy, yeah. 20 years.
But it's like almost half your life that you've been this, you know, enormously famous person.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a distraction from the work? Is that a...
I feel I have to really focus even harder to sort of tune out the noise of it, if anything. And really kind of, you know, just tune it out and work hard and stay focused on the work, because it is, and also challenge myself so that I can rise above the toxicity of whatever's out there, you know, as on my persona or whatever the narrative is in the BS world.
Are you able to stay away from that? Or are you able to keep...
Yeah, I mean, I know it's there. It's pretty much been the same thing now for years, the same one over and over again.
Every week it's another version
just
of the same.
It's either everybody's really happy or everybody's really bummed. Just one or the other.
And sometimes the same, each of those in a different magazine at the same time. Yeah.
It's happening, simultaneously.
Yeah, it's quite shocking.
Quite shocking. But hey, you know, people can be, soap operas, you know, you can have someone come back to life after being in a coma and dead. And, you know, so I think of them as just as an extension of the, as soap operas.
We do. I guess we claim them to be journalism on some level, but they're so not.
No.
But even journalism now is barely journalism, so it's kind of a...
I know.
Kind of a rough
trying
universe.
Trying to keep everybody interested, so.
So then you built the movie career, and again, people, I think, kind of, you built it on comedy primarily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was that something at the point when you did Friends and you started all of that? I mean, were you looking for other things and they just weren't there, or was this a happy place for you to be, and so you're just happy
just
to do comedy?
I was just in a happy place. I was getting. You have to understand, when you have nothing to compare it to, you just get to go to work and you see so many of your friends who are not working, I'm just grateful to be working and doing movies that I found fun and entertaining, and some were beloved and some were not. And, you know, and then it wasn't until I got really started getting older where I realized, I think having done The Good Girl, it made me really sort of realize, oh, I have a choice of what I can do. You know, I really can explore other things and not just sit back and just wait for what's handed to you, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think I started back then being more conscious and vocal with my managers and agents about stuff, you know, areas that I wanted to explore. And, you know, I guess, and doing The Good Girl helped. Sorry, hitting my mic. helped me in that way, because, you know, I think if you're, it's an industry that's very sort of, well, I can say you've done this before, so I will grant you the ability to do it again. And if you haven't done it, then there, you know, it's like a kind of an insecure business, I think, in a lot of areas, especially in the higher ups or having an imagination of what would be interesting and creatively unexpected.
Well, it takes a Miguel Arteta to...
Yeah, it takes a... But I think there's something great about the younger filmmakers, because they're not... that's an exciting challenge to take someone who's sort of an established personality and put them, knowing that they have a, I mean, thankfully he trusted that I could do that. For him, it was an exciting challenge.
All right. Okay, so you doing that movie. I mean, is it the work? Is it the interaction with a different mindset of filmmaking? I mean, because that's a pretty low-budget movie.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel is a very edgy guy. He's made some very edgy movies, to say
mm-hmm.
the least.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of put yourself in his hands, I guess.
100%. We always said we were just going to dive off into an empty pool chest first, and that's what we did. And I just remember saying to him, don't let me be Rachel. And he was, promise you I won't.
So is that a different experience in terms of the work itself for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was the first time that I remember studying with an acting coach and really trying to understand the character, you know, all the stuff that I'd learned in school, character study. And it was great to kind of revisit all of that stuff and work really hard, because the comedy does, you know, it's not easy, but for me it was something that was easier to do than say playing someone, you know, who's actually a very specific character, you mm-hmm. know, with a lot of layered emotions and things going on mm-hmm. in their brain space.
So how did Cake end up coming to you?
Cake was a script that I read and was in someone else's hands. And I just said, I'm in love with this movie. And I just, if there is the moment presents itself and the situation allows, and I have a shot to go in there and just bang on a drum really loud and sit with the director, we just kept calling. And finally, he did.
So was there something about the character or the story? What was it that got you?
It was so beautifully written. I mean, such a layered, complicated character that also I found quite endearing and funny. You know, her sense of humor was sort of allowing you to sort of... It allowed you to see the former shadow of who she was and might have been, and you didn't understand how Patrick wrote it. And let the story just unfold, as opposed to just telling, you know, giving you kind of the foreshadowing of what happened to this woman and explaining, so that audiences are not going like, what's happening? Why is she all screwed up? And he kind of just lets the audience take the ride with her. And I just felt unbelievable empathy for this character. I found myself laughing. I found myself in tears. Mm. And it kind of ticked all the boxes in terms of an actor's dream job.
Scary?
It's terrifying. Yeah. Honestly. I mean, especially when he said yes. I mean, I knew I knew I could. I knew it was in me. But there comes a point when all of a sudden you go, all right, you got to be able to, you know, do this. And I just was at the point in my career where if I fell flat on my face, then I fall flat on my face. Who cares? You know, I gotta challenge myself. I've gotta remind myself that I'm capable of doing more than, you know, maybe what the world sees me as doing.
Well, you had enormous success. In
yeah,
doing
and I haven't done the exact same thing by any means, but this was something that I knew was gonna be taking myself to another place and really kind of just trying to just disappear.
So part of you is hoping that Daniel will say yes, and part of you is also, I assume, having to kind of vet Daniel and make sure that you're comfortable putting yourself in that position
with him.
With him.
Because we're all pretty much taking these wonderful chances. I mean...
Yeah. Well, like Arteta, you know, was pretty established in doing what he does.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't what you were doing at the time, but it is, you know, he was a kind of master of that format.
Right.
Whereas Daniel's kind of a newcomer.
Yep. Exactly.
Exactly.
And there was a lot of questions. I mean, everyone was a little, but when I first met with Daniel, he had this extremely beautiful mood book that he does with all of his movies. Mm-hmm. And he basically takes you through the story with all of these gorgeous visuals and little bits of the dialogue and these, it just told such a beautiful story. And for me, in that instant, I thought, he really knows what he's doing. He knows the story that he wants to tell, and I completely see eye to eye with everything that he's saying. Mm-hmm. And we had the luxury also of shooting this movie in Los Angeles, which, you know, that granted us time to really rehearse and work, and gave me the time to do the work I needed to do and really mine this character and sit with people and work with wonderful people to sort of help me, you know, get to the place where I was just ready to, I was so ready to go. It's so rare, you know, usually you come to day, you know, shoot day, and they're thinking, oh, we still have to get the script right. Well, we'll have time, you know, or it was just, we were just so ready to go and just run around Los Angeles and tell the story.
So what was that process? I mean, did you do things that you would not normally do in terms of whether it was acting coaches or
sitting with different people who live with chronic pain. This woman that I know and love and adore, who is a stunt woman who had a terrible accident and her leg was just ripped to shreds in a boat by a boat propeller, and she was 23 surgeries in and addicted to OxyContin and just her career gone because that's her body. Saved that leg somehow, but how it's there today is a miracle. Mm-hmm. This happened to her about 18 years ago. She picked herself up, kicked all the crap that she was on, and she's incredible. And she's my stunt woman today, and she was the stunt coordinator on this movie. And she was extremely helpful.
You found, or somebody that Daniel knew, or
we both we've each known Stacy for 20 years, unbeknownst to each other. Neither, you know, it was one of those weird things where, oh, I know Stacy Courtney. But yeah, so, and speaking with doctors and psychopharmacologists, just understanding what the effect of an OxyContin is when you're in pain. How does it affect you differently when you're, you know, when you have a bottle of booze with it, and, you know, just trying to keep a really bulletproof tracking of where she would be physically, emotionally, and then add in the emotionality of just the story itself and what she's going through. But it was a real wonderful sort of excavation of a character, and I had an unbelievable support team of people I had access to help me.
So normally process, that much investigation and so forth, not part of your
ritual? No, because I'd never played. I mean, you can play the jilted lover, you can play the one who's lost a dog, you can play the made up crazy sex addicted dentist, because that's sort of all in your mind. But this is a real human being, and there are human beings. I've never experienced chronic pain. I've never experienced the loss that she's experienced, or the trauma that she's gone through. So for me, that was a lot of study to make sure I didn't have a false note or disrespect anybody or the writer's beautiful work.
Did you find pleasure in that process?
Unbelievable. It was like an actor's orgasm. It was so fulfilling, and like, you know, just to be able to pull out all those like little tools from your acting bag of stuff, and everything works.
Well, it's funny because there's some actors we talk to who, I'm knocking things around. You know, who, for them, that's like a lot. That's almost their favorite thing.
They look for roles where they
can study into, you know, the history of all kinds of people and situations and whatever, and they kind of look for those roles.
Yeah. Well, I get it. I love. Well, now that you know, you get the bug. I mean, it happened a little bit even with Dr. Julia, just kind of being able to play a character and disappear and be just raunchy and far from anything that is close to who I am. I also started in, I mean, I had a year on a show called The Edge, which was a sketch comedy show, and that's all we did was play wacky, crazy characters, you know. Mm-hmm. So I find it to be quite wonderful, and also to just disappear and just de-fuss, de-glam, and just be a raw human being was quite liberating.
So is there a sense, I mean, obviously it's award season and all that, there's a lot of talk about your performance and you've gotten nominated and all that, but I mean, is part of this journey hoping that other people, other directors out there and other studios will see you in a different way and offer you these roles, come to you?
I think any actor wants to just keep working and keep getting opportunities that are stretching themselves. And I hope that I do. I just want to keep making great movies, telling great stories, and working with really great directors. And I know that I know that there is a bit more, like I said, you know, tape to kind of gnaw through, because I am, look, I was in people's living rooms for 10 years every week and every night now on Netflix and stuff. So, you know, I feel so grateful that I'm even given the opportunity to still do these movies and be acknowledged for it. It's really nice.
It's an ongoing battle.
It's a catch-22, because it's like, well, I know I can play the character, you just have to let me play it, but I won't let you play it because I don't know if you can do it. So it's sort of this...
But they also offer you good roles and, you know, funny movies.
Oh, yeah,
whatever.
And that's great, and I'm grateful. Yeah. And I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to stop doing that, because nothing really makes me happier than making people laugh, to be honest. Yeah. But for me, I wanted to just know that I could do something outside of that. And I did it, if anything, for myself, first and foremost. And that's how we felt when we were shooting. We were in this little creative bubble of risks and love and trust and faith and hope. And we all went, you know, the little acting troupe just running around Los Angeles, discovering places in Los Angeles that I didn't even know existed, standing on top of a freeway, closed down on a Sunday afternoon. And it was just such a wonderful time.
Do you know instinctively how it's going as you're shooting it, as you're running around Los Angeles and doing all that, or... Or are you just kind of trying to stay in the moment?
Just stay in the moment. I'm never a few, like a strategizer or a think ahead or a. I'm really, and probably to a fault. I'm sure I should plan better sometimes, but I am pretty much in the moment.
So were you surprised when you saw the movie?
Oh, I think we all were. No one knew what to expect. And not only that, but Daniel like turned this thing around in like whiplash speed and that was, I would say it's like, it was 80-something percent there. Mm-hmm. And then there was just little tweaks and little things here and there. A couple screen. We didn't screen it for a preview audience, you know, mm-hmm. nothing like that. And all of a sudden, this Toronto explosion happened. And it was, we were all just like, what's happening? This is crazy.
I mean, what was it like to watch the movie?
It was, you know... There was a real, like, incredible sigh of relief, I think, because we also had this kick-ass female DP, Rachel Morrison, who, there was all this really, these amazing collectives of creatives that got together who were so good, really, at what they did, but also knew that they were entering into an area of something they hadn't really done before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just the fact that it didn't look like a terrible episode, I won't say of what, but that it was something that was quite moving and special and beautiful.
You?
Daniel, did, huh?
What about you?
What about me? What?
I mean, is it hard when you're watching, because you're most of the movie.
Yeah.
Is it hard to watch that performance the first time? Is it hard to watch yourself?
It is hard to watch it the first time. It's a tense experience. And then the second time you can be more objective, I would say.
And so you've gotten used to it over.
Only seen it honestly one time. Well, since the working on it and giving notes throughout the edit, one time with a huge audience, that was plenty for me.
Is that true of most of your things? Do you look back much?
Oh, I mean, I enjoy watching the movie once, and then if I stumble upon something every once in a while, I'll just sort of try to remember, because you forget things that took place in a lot of your movies. So it's sort of fun to remember, I did that. That was fun.
Are you, what kind of relationship do you have with your previous work or even your current work? I mean, do you look back at it and go, okay, that was really good or that wasn't really good or I really love that one?
Absolutely. I'm very objective about everything. I can say that easily that was tanker. Easily that I love more than I don't.
Do you think that's a function of having done television and having that much content coming out, you know, all the time and your face being everywhere?
Probably, I guess. I mean, I'm not uncomfortable, like, oh, I can't watch myself. I find it actually quite educational to sort of be able to say, ooh, don't do that again, or I think you could have done that better. It's sort of, I find it a tool, research.
Do you like dailies?
Sometimes. Sometimes I like dailies.
And why sometimes not?
But sometimes I don't need to see it. If it's a really kind of hairy, dramatic thing, and then you don't, and it's all out of order, and it's just pieces of it, I feel better to watch it all as a whole.
And sometimes they're just helpful for you to keep building.
Well, it's usually in the beginning I like to see, so I make sure I'm on track with vocal, physical, and all of that stuff.
So at this point, when a script comes to you, when somebody's sending you a script, I mean, what are you looking, character first? Are you looking story first? Are you looking for the whole project and how?
The whole kit and caboodle. I'd say the character, the story, and am I going to have a really good time? Am I going to connect to it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be real serious or this or that. It can be a big blockbuster hit comedy, and I just want it to be really fun and enjoyable. The outcome's always going to be you never know what the outcome's going to be. And you can't do it for, you can't take on a job because, oh, well, what am I going to get? This has got to be a good one. You have to just always go by your gut, and if you're going to enjoy yourself and have a good time creatively and work with people, time saver. Don't work with angry people. Don't work with pain in the ass actors. Don't work with, you know, get all your information and say, yeah, life's too short rule. That falls under that. I will move on.
So you're the young old pro category.
Yeah.
Of actor.
What does that mean, young old pro?
That you're young, but you're still an old pro. You're about making sure the schedule and everything is
schedule, like, be prepared. Know your shot list. Treat your actors with respect and your crew with respect. Yellers, I just think I don't understand it. Same with actors, spoiled, bratty actors that kind of, you know, feel, I think they get, you know, I've just seen stuff in my career that I've taken a lesson from as to how not to behave.
And don't put it in an email.
And don't...
Don't put it in an email, let's see.
Oh.
The lesson of Hollywood.
Oh.
Nothing goes in email anymore.
Whoa. I know.
It's crazy month.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, just the lack of respect for privacy is kind of surreal.
Not only that, but don't speak about people that way.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
As you said, you've heard many things in your business, in your life, career.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've heard worse.
Everybody has.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, that those are the only two people in Hollywood that have ever... been rude or maybe spoken out of line.
So the experience of this now people are talking about it. You're going to Santa Barbara today and had a screening. You're around and showing people the movie that you're very proud of.
Yeah.
Do the accolades, are they just, you know, cream on the cake, or are they just a cherry on top?
That's what we all keep saying. We kind of all are pinching ourselves saying this all happens so fast. I mean, we started principal photography on April 3rd of this year.
Wow.
And so...
That's really fast.
Really fast. I think it was just last week, a year, that I even met Daniel for the first time. So we're kind of trying to hold on tight and just get our bearings, and we're just kind of squealing, excited, shocked, amazed that this is even getting any attention the way it is. So we're humbled... is an understatement, and grateful, can't even explain it.
And you're kind of in a great place in your career where you're able to do the things that you've been doing, but also it sounds like this might open doors.
It's really nice.
To the next generation of your life,
it's
next era of your life.
Next era, who knows, yeah. Just pretty happy to be here.
It's a great thing. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
To the music.
Man, imagine this world with no guns, no fight, no diseases. That's a world I would want to live in. Everybody would want to live in. Imagine no guns, imagine no fight, imagine no diseases, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine the world with no haters. Would you still be motivated to ball with paper? Imagine the streets free from police sirens and cop chases. Imagine if pop was alive. Will rappers be as hot? Imagine if Jeezy went pop. Would the trap still pop? Imagine if Biggie didn't get shot. Would him and Puff still rock? Imagine if that disease didn't take my pop. I could still hear him say I love you a lot. Imagine if John Lennon didn't make it magic. Would you still imagine? Imagine if there was no Gucci or True Religion fabric. Imagine if Jesus walked amongst us. Would you still wear crosses? Imagine owning your own everything. No work, no bosses. Imagine no guns. Imagine no fights. Imagine no disease. Imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns. Imagine no fights. Imagine no disease. Imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine me at the top with no bottom in sight. Imagine me living with no problems in life. Imagine no wars, no soldiers at a fight. Imagine if there wasn't a day or a night. Imagine if there wasn't a Satan or a Christ. Imagine if Eazy-E didn't succumb to AIDS. Would it still be an NWA? Imagine all the homeless people have enough place to stay. Imagine everybody having enough food on their plate. Imagine looking in the mirror, not seeing your face. Imagine if my great-grandma was alive, would she still make sure I'm straight? Imagine if every day had an earthquake. Imagine if everybody was real instead of a snake. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights. Imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life.
Kingpin. He's still the only nigga that I would've signed. bonds to. If I ain't signed away, ain't perfect with design crew. Cause we the big three, don't need a big speech. We made the biggest impact, chop the spreadsheet. That's Lil Weezy the Barbie and Drizzy Drake.
That's Lil Weezy the Barbie and Drizzy Drake. Hit that
like the hit right. Took everything, ain't nothing left. Count your blessings, count your stuff. At your throat like we that struck. This way you go under the slush. All we ball but we don't mesh. All we drink leave us a mess. Down all my drawers, it is all news.
Hello pretender, hello my friend. Hello to those who didn't wanna do it. Hello backstabber in your cheap grin. There's more just like you that's listening.
Who's he had low? Niggas don't know I'm around. Hop out, hit him up, lay my murder game down. You see me in your projects, 187's in progress. Hard niggas feeling soft enough when that leg touching. Got him once you keep fighting, fuck it, just keep cutting him. It's real killer instinct, killer be killed. Trust me, you don't wanna feel how it just feel. Fuck around and get your cat pill, nigga, you know the drill. Brownsville, Flatbush, Cow Heights, Brooklyn Zoo. Feed the wolves, they eat the food in their head and fed them too. Nigga, welcome to the jungle. New York, New York. Gangsters, you sign language and let their guns talk.
I spark like a blunt tip, something cavy, making green like Mitch. Gift rap vocals dispatch with every attempt. The Hatties gang shook up when Dre cook up. Every thug look up. Grotty got me on chill. Eyes bloodshot, heavy built. Lay a nigga out like Quill. Clear the guilt, I rock for rollers. From low riders to Henny toasters. Cut off dead weight to keep my formulas kosher. Accept no imitations, straight losing the stack. And slimmest chances of Michael Jackson getting his black fans back. My reputation's like a Tech 9. Knock out the best in the circle. 3 minutes, wreck time.
Got the money, I don't even want this shit cause it ain't for me. I always been myself, you don't know me. Yeah, I was so depressed, I was lonely. The man on the horse, all I had was Ralph Lauren. And I went and signed a deal and bought a pony. Yeah, I'm taking it back and then I'm smacking you bitches and laughing. And I'm kissing, I'm hacking and I'm sending your body redacting. And you wonder what's happening, I'm flipping the syllables, acting. And niggas, I'm a practicing, you fucking the fucking embarrassing. You ain't gonna be happy when I'm on top and I'm gonna be popping. Or you gonna be dropping like birds dropping all on your conscience. Or you niggas are watching, I'm spitting, slapping all on your coffin. Or if you lost and you fucking sleeping, your pillow talking. And you dream all day, that's per year. Are you hung niggas in your purse here. I'm your favorite rapper's worst fear.
Hello pretender, hello my friend. Hello to those who didn't wanna do it. Hello backstabber in your cheap grin. There's more just like you that's missing.
I left my legacy hurt, fucking absurd, like a shepherd having sex with his sheep, fuck what you heard, all this talk in my ear, I got an idea, like the clerk when you're trying to buy beer. Since on the mic I'm a nightmare. Fuck it, I thought this might be a good time to put talk me to rock up. I got the bottle of NyQuil right here. You want to sleep me to wake. You want Slim Shady EP. This on the CD cover stuck in my mirror. I promise not to cry crocodile tears. If you end up shocked at my lyrics, Marshall is dead in the water. But not that I care. Drake said drop the boat in the dock.
It's unanimous, you're at attention. The planet's twisting and their banana splits again, which has its advantages. But when you got nothing to say except for the hand your dick is in. And if your pants are sticking and Janet's sticking, then imagine if your tomato hand is kicking and it's tapping, you panic stricken. You're tripping off a tryptophan and tryptophan in Switzerland just for asking to autograph a picture and ripped it in half and ripped it at him and kicked his ass all the way back to Michigan. But no matter how many rounds or I get knocked down and I'm about to expel to the ground.
I got fighter's mentality. I'll get back up and fight with it. Back them up, packing up mic with it. I'll make it sound, sound like a vampire fighting it. Fight, but I have to be Dracula's sidekick to be back with the hell.
Ain't no time to wait, my nigga. Time to get to it, bruh. Let's do it. Yeah.
Now if you see me riding by, I'm getting to it. And anybody riding with me, they getting to it. You got a problem getting money, I can sit you through it. And I will spend too much time with hoes and bitches foolish. And Buddha need new shoes, so I'm getting to it. Computer and these pro tools, I'm getting to it.
Driving my squad to losing control. I'm seeing the light, but I'm losing the road. I'm ugly by night with a beautiful soul. I went from hanging up posters to being hung up in your room. From the streets to the cells where them suckers be stuffing balloons. Come get it, I got it, just slip, you ain't making it home. I got a big ego and ego, let's say to this chrome. It's never about nothing unless it's involving some paper. And if I can't say you nothing, I'll talk to you later. The odds of a killer is nothing when spotting a faker. Outside of your building, you ordered, I squat like a waiter. I should've been this and I could've been that. I walk with the fifth and I ride with the mag. Owls, Lord, G-A-N-G-S-D-R. We throwing somebody hoe inside my motherfucking car. Chill.
If you see me riding by, I'm getting to it. And anybody riding with me, they getting to it. You got a problem getting money, I can sit you through it. And I will spend too much time with hoes and bitches foolish. And Buddha need new shoes, so I'm getting to it. Computer and these pro tools,
hey,
I'm getting
good.
To it.
Cash money, fast money, bitch, I'm getting to it. Hit the dealership and cop the Porsches by the deuces. Highly influenced, vision is ruined. Buy all this money, I be running through it. Jerome better 50 carats, no vegetarian. I'm so embarrassed, stupid watch, can barely carry. We talking women, bitch, I'm married. Me and the money, I keep her coming, nothing funny. She got me something, I'm talking with some bigger cribs. This how I live, I'm getting to it, boy, you know a nigga gotta eat. My kids counting on they daddy, so I never sleep. That's on the G.O.D., my pistol for my enemy. That's real G,
yeah. Man, if you see me riding by, I'm getting to it. And anybody riding with me, they getting to it. You got a problem getting money, I can sit you through it. And I will spend too much time with hoes and bitches foolish. And Buddha need new shoes, so I'm getting to it. Computer and these pro tools, I'm getting to it.
Some lumpy shit, got hits like a 100 clips. If I murder tracks, I get the chips. I'm on the road like wheels on a whip. Fly than a mall, I'm a blimp. Yeah, you hatin', I float the ocean. Shrimp and fish, I don't smoke, but if I do, I'ma roll some lish. Top rank, I go hard like Tyson's fist. I get to it, there's nothing to it. Hypnotic to Nike, I just do it. Can't even explain how I became this sick. All this money, how I became this rich. I'm getting to it, yeah.
Man, if you see me riding by, I'm getting to it. And anybody riding with me, they getting to it. You got a problem getting money, I can sit you through it. And I will spend too much time with hoes and bitches foolish. And Buddha need new shoes, so I'm getting to it. Computer and these pro tools, I'm getting to it.
I just hit a lick like a lollipop. Left nothing to the bank, funny bone, that's a lot of guac. Racks on racks on racks, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Still fresh from yesterday, more licks on the way. My girl just licked away, I put kids on her face. Mr. Duncan Hines, I put icing on the cake. Plotting half the day, how I'm about to get this mat today. Hot and scorching, ballin' and I'm Jordan. Haters grill me like a foreman, cause I'd rather die enormous than live dormant. Hitting licks, counting chips, my kingdom is for me. The top's so lonely, I'm free from the torment.
Y que por la puta mi nombre mencione. Tú siempre pichas en la mía, tranquilo. Si soy lo Luyan que te engancha este rabo de oro en el cuello y ahora pa' su kilo. La muy siempre de estelar. Si no me vio preguntar en el Banco Popular. Los topos te puse un cada regular. Este es hasta alguien que uno va a jugar. Dando más pa' lo que David Ortiz. Ando con los pibes locos de entrar le tiro a Kiss. Me acostumbré a modelo con flow de París. Yeah. El más odio Donald Trump. Aceite en el vapor ya no fumo en plon. Los pongo a danzar duro como Tom. Me tocan y adelante el almagedón.
Try to play me, gonna end up in a motherfucking body bag.
Rolls Royce.
Ride down 85. Bad bitch rolling with me. Overseas shows, finna make some racks in Sydney.
Lego.
I'm paranoid as fuck. I feel the feds gon' come and get me. All I smoke is loud, blowing smoke like a chimney. Probably savage with your bitch. I'm a savage at this shit. Is she grabbing at my dick? 9 times out of 10, I bet I hit. I'm spazzing out. Russell Gang committed. Better act scrap. Russell Gang, we run the city.
Southern smoke.
That's all I blow. I swear to God, this ain't a joke. I had a nightmare. These slow ass niggas wanna kill me.
Kill me.
I prayed to the Lord that my angels walking with me. I'm starting to see things and my mind is going crazy. A bottle of Ciroc, I guarantee I eat your lady. She loving Rizzy. I bet I fuck tonight. I'm Russell Gang, so you know my pocket right. When it come to rules, loyalty is number one.
Number
I got
one.
Some niggas from D.C. that'll get you done. Body bag. Talking shit, body bag. We 50 rich, 100 racks up on a body bag. I'm with your bitch,
hey.
Now you thinking body bag.
Hey, yo.
Check the Bugatti tag,
hey,
tag spells
body bag.
Say you searching, yeah. Well, shout it, what you seeking for? You say you working, yeah. Well, tell me why you reaching, bruh? They claim they see it, well, ask them why they peeking for. And I'm the reason why you pussy niggas hate your girl. Not I, Mr. Too Fly. Can't see none of you lanes, I live in the sky. That's a bird's eye view. You keep talking shit and I might merge eye you. Club life Versace, street life Harachi. Get money 8 ways, out the pussy to hibachi. A meeting with the gang, talking about the future. Discussing the moolah, how easy it is to do you.
Body bag, body bag. Check the Bugatti tag, spells out body bag. Body bag. Body bag, check the Bugatti tag, spells out body bag. Talking shit, body bag. We 50 rich, 100 rocks up on a body bag. I'm with your bitch, now you thinking body bag. Check the Bugatti tag, tag spells
body bag.
Tag flow, now they call me Mr. Body Bag. Hypnotic on the remix, you know I had the body that make the whole room scatter, like when you hear the shoddy crack. Addicted to the money, shit is like crap. They said the G shit left, boy, I'ma bring it back. Shout out to Rizzy for letting me hop on this track. Been trying to get cream for so long, you can't measure with rulers. Body bag, whatever, I'm amongst rulers. The kings and the martyrs. Body bag, copy that, who you know harder. I'm Sonny's rap cats, I am your father. I rap this way, cause my mind is sharper. Here's my blueprint, Google me for starters.
Body bag, check the Bugatti tag, spells out body bag. Body bag. Body bag, check the Bugatti tag, spells out body bag. Talking shit, body bag. We 50 rich, 100 rocks up on a body bag. I'm with your bitch, now you thinking body bag. Check the Bugatti tag, tag spells
body bag.
Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. I got kicks like Liu Kang. From Gucci to J. I got shoes for more days, Nikes and Adidas. I could build a Foot Locker, Louis V the Prada. Who you know with kicks, how'd I walk into Nike town? Tell them bitches wipe me down. I missed the foot action. I got kicks off the wall, off it. Eyeball like give me this, give me that. With a fitted hat to match, snapbacks and retro. Some J's I can't let go. You see my fresh pop tag, leave them all with heavy bags. Major cool, though should be like what kind of kicks those? Custom made, of course it is. You couldn't walk a mile in my forces, bitch. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane. My closet look like finish line. I leave a trail of dead rappers when I finish rhyme. I'm fly with an air rat. Check that Air Max. I put cash in my shoe box. Adidas got them blue boxes. I got too many shoe options. Them Gucci G's, yeah, I got them. Louis V, red bottom, my style loud like the sound of bomb mix. I should make my own shoes, I'm the white kind, yeah. Yeah, I got an awesome plan. Still got plain money, I can cop the new Jordan fan. I don't buy a pair, I buy a 100 man. Walking in the club, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane, my shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Luke Kane.
Welcome back to the Hypnotic Show, hip-hop's finest hour on the radio. And then I want to thank Jennifer Aniston for being the guest appearance on the show today. And tomorrow, make sure to stay tuned for Ann Joyce Meyer. We're going to be doing the two-hour gospel special that I do every week. And then also, at the end of that show is where I announce all the guest appearances for this week. So you definitely do not want to miss it. Constantly bringing nothing but heat. The Hypnotic Show, hip-hop's finest hour on the radio. And then also make sure to go on outthegutta.com and purchase my limited edition. It's only 1,000 of them, and they're selling fast. So once those 1,000 are gone, that's it. So make sure to get them before they're gone. And then, because there's going to be a lot of great things with that. And then also make sure to go on Cameo.com, and hire me if you want me to sing happy birthday or send a shout out or something. Hire me there. Go on K9 Magazine as well to dig that magazine that me and MJ did, the article, the issue that we were on the cover back in July. And also you can go to K9Magazine.com/hypnotic to go directly to the interview that we had. And then also make sure to go and get Money Never Sleeps, the double CD that I released few months back. And then also the Outcome, I released them within a week, double back-to-back albums. So the Outcome is out there as well, you know, go and purchase that. And then also anybody that's trying to send any kind of music on my station, send it to hypnoticshow@outlook.com. Again, that's hypnoticshow@outlook.com. And then go on Money Talks Magazine as well. And you could actually cop one of those issues, the last issue they did where it was me on the article that I had for the Hypnotic Show, and that column has the Nas interview that I did celebrating the 50 years of hip-hop. So you do not want to miss that. Go on Barnes & Nobles and buy them before they're gone. And then make sure to also, anybody, make sure to go on outthegutta.com and make sure to purchase a lot. There's a lot of great things on there. I have a lot of limited edition items, from my shoes on there to glasses on there to shoes. I also have the microphone I have signed. I have CD, the greatest hit CD signed as well. So everything, make sure to get them before they're gone. Catch you guys tomorrow. Peace.